Bills. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Friday, April 5th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Tupper Lake has been planning for Monday's total eclipse for years. Thousands of visitors are expected.
We'll deal with it like we've done before in the past when, we used to deal with thousands of people at the Woodsman's Days and traffic backed up for hours because we closed the roads for a parade. Traffic clears itself up after a while. You just have to take your time.
We'll stop by the Wild Center and Racket River Brewing to hear how they've prepared.
A new eclipse-themed art exhibit in Plattsburgh uses two prominent galleries to showcase artists' interpretations of darkness and light.
This idea is to kind of keep the faith, keep the light. The hope is the light. There are people, things that will guide us, and that people won't give up, but that we're in trouble.
Plus, what this winter storm means for skiing in the Adirondacks this weekend. John Warren checks on the outdoor conditions for us.
And we listen to an April-themed song from Peggy Lynn and Dan Duggan.
All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Seacom Credit Union, serving the financial needs of people throughout northern New York and northwestern Vermont in person, online at seacom.org and on your smartphone. And by the Depot Theater in Westport, inviting all to take a journey without leaving the station. Learn more at depottheater.org.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. Monday's total solar eclipse could be one of the biggest events in the Adirondacks in decades. Many hotels, motels, and short-term rentals have been booked for more than a year. One of the top destinations is Tupper Lake, where Emily Russell talked to folks about what they're expecting.
Tupper Lake is taking the eclipse very seriously. Drive around and you'll see billboards and big traffic signs about the event, shops advertising eclipse glasses and other merch. The town of about 5,000 people is hosting two of the largest eclipse events in the park, one at the Adirondack Sky Center and Observatory, and another at the Wild Center. That's where I meet Leanne Favreau.
How much of your life lately has been consumed by the eclipse?
All of it. I feel like the eclipse is eclipsing my life in some respects. It is in my home life and my work life. It's all eclipse right now.
Favreau is the manager of interpretive programs here at the Wild Center. She says they've been prepping for the eclipse for years.
Every department at every level has been planning for new merchandise in the store to new exhibits on our floor to bringing in the Corning Museum of Glass, who's going to be here all weekend. It has been a all hands on deck collaborative effort.
The Wild Center says about 4,500 people have reserved spots for the day of the eclipse. That event is free of charge. The Sky Center says it, too, is expecting thousands of visitors. Businesses in the Adirondacks could see a real boost this weekend. Racket River Brewing is a popular spot in Tupper Lake. Co-owner Mark Jesse says they've brewed a special beer and they'll be fully staffed. But Jesse says he's managing expectations and he's not even opening until after the eclipse.
We're all going to be either out in our parking lot or at home or wherever enjoying it. And then some of us are going to be coming into work for 4 o'clock and trying to hopefully deal with the masses of people. And I've told everybody, if we have to shut the door because we can't handle the volume, we shut the door.
Jesse says he's been impressed by all the marketing and organization that's gone into the event. He and others give a lot of credit to Roost, the regional tourism office in the Adirondacks. But still, there are a lot of unknowns going into Monday's eclipse.
There's no way to predict exactly what's going to happen. So we're just going to do the best we can and hope that people are patient and kind. And we all get along and get through this and actually enjoy it.
Of course, there are a lot of folks preparing for what happens if things do go wrong. One concern is traffic. There are only 3 roads in and out of Tupper Lake. The whole park is pretty rural and isolated. Eric Prue is Tupper Lake's chief of police. He says they do have experience dealing with large crowds, and the key is just to be prepared and patient, especially after the eclipse.
We'll deal with it like we've done before in the past when, we used to deal with thousands of people at the Woodsman's Days and traffic backed up for hours because we closed the roads for a parade. Traffic clears itself up after a while. You just have to take your time.
Another concern is over medical emergencies. The closest hospital from Tupper Lake is 20 miles east in Saranac Lake. There are only a handful of hospitals in all of the Adirondacks. Back at the Wild Center, Leanne Favreau says they've decided to take extra precautions during the day of the eclipse.
We made the call kind of towards the end of the game here to bring on EMTs and make sure that we have medical service, trained medical response teams on site, which I think has relieved a lot of stress for our staff, just knowing that we have trained professionals here to help our visitors if they need it.
One thing that's not lost on everyone I talk to is just how amazing this moment could be, not for business or for the region, but just from a human perspective. Favreau and I are talking in a room with a big glowing orb that's hanging from the ceiling. She uses a tablet to program what the orb looks like.
So we've got sun, we have moon, we have earth. Let me see, we've got some other...
Then she programs the earth so it has lots of thin, colorful lines arcing across the continents. Each line reflects the path of totality of a recent solar eclipse.
So this is looking at all the eclipses that have taken place from 2010 to 2030, the pathways that you can see. So you can just see how these little rare snippets of getting to view the total solar eclipse across the globe. They happen all the time. But in our backyards, once in every 375 years, if we're lucky.
And on Monday, we will be lucky. So she says we better enjoy it. Emily Russell, North Country Public Radio, Tupper Lake.
Listening to Northern Lights here on North Country Public Radio, 7 minutes past eight. Good morning, I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, John Warren checks the trail conditions for us, and we listen to an April song from Peggy Lynn and Dan Duggan. It's coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Sue Grimm on the flute and Martha Gallagher on the harp. Northern Light is supported by Adirondack Foundation, making grants to nonprofits that address community issues of childcare, attainable housing, career pathways, basic needs, and more. AdirondackFoundation.org.
Lake George's town supervisor died on Wednesday, April 3rd. Dennis Dickinson was in the position since 2012 and was reelected last fall. Dickinson also served as town supervisor from 1979 to 1982. According to a news release from Warren County, Dickinson was crucial to many discussions about issues in the community over the years. He served on the town's tourism and occupancy tax committees. He was involved in several environmental initiatives to protect Lake George, including a boat inspection program and the reduction of road salt in the Lake George Basin. The town will determine Dickinson's successor.
In the first quarter of this year, North Country Congresswoman Elise Stefanik raised just over $7 million. That's the most money that the GOP conference chair and fourth-ranking House Republican has raised in a single quarter during her entire political career. Amy Fire-Reisel has more.
To get to that $7 million mark, Politico reports that Stefanik received several large contributions from prominent Jewish Republicans early this year. That's after Stefanik drew attention for questioning the presidents of several colleges back in December, including Harvard, about the rise of anti-Semitism on campuses. The single largest donation to her campaign came from the president of the World Jewish Congress. This November, Stefanik will face re-election for her seat. She currently has five challengers. Republican Jill Lochner will run against her in the Republican primary on June 25th. Democrats Paula Collins and Stephen Holden are vying for their party nomination. Scott Philip Lewis is running as an independent, and Brian Rouleau under the Working Families Party. Stefanik's fundraising efforts dwarf those of her opponents. In the last quarter of 2023, according to the Federal Election Commission, Stefanik raised $5.3 million. Only two of her challengers were fundraising then. Combined, they raised less than $50,000. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand wants to protect a federal student loan forgiveness measure. It's called the SAVE Plan, which stands for Saving on a Valuable Education. Gillibrand's proposed law would protect the plan from being repealed by future presidents. The New York Democrats said at a press conference this week that the loan forgiveness plan has already helped millions of borrowers.
You can really get help if you are a low-income worker on repaying your student debt. If you enroll now.
One in eight New Yorkers has student loan debt, totaling some $93 billion. Under the SAVE plan, $63 million in student loan debt in New York has been forgiven. Meanwhile, a group of Republican-led states is suing the Biden administration to block the student loan repayment plan. They claim President Biden overstepped his authority when he created it.
The town of Philadelphia in Jefferson County is getting $500,000 from the State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to improve a local park. WWNY-TV reports the updates to Philadelphia's park on Plank Road will include new sports fields with bleachers and dugouts, new playground equipment, walking paths, and accessible paths with access to fishing. The town board is now forming an advisory committee to give recommendations as the project progresses. Officials say the improvements will make the park more accessible for all community members.
A high school junior from Killington, Vermont, won the grand prize at the University of Vermont's inaugural Vermont Pitch Challenge yesterday. The competition offered outstanding high school entrepreneurs worldwide a chance to win a full tuition scholarship for their innovative ventures. Pippa Scott captured the judges' attention at UVM with an inspiring business proposal for her already established nonprofit, Ride for Mental Health. The program raises awareness about and provides support to kids and teens struggling with mental health through sports. Announced last September, the Vermont Pitch Challenge attracted nearly 150 teams from seven countries and 27 states. Over 220 students took part.
Communities across the North Country are gearing up to celebrate Monday's total solar eclipse. In Plattsburgh, the Strand Center for the Arts and SUNY Plattsburgh's Feinberg Library decided to do that with a collaborative art exhibition. Kara Chapman has more.
The Darkness and Light exhibition was inspired by the upcoming total solar eclipse, but the art didn't have to be. Elsa Koop Angelicola is with the Strand Center for the Arts in Plattsburgh, which is hosting the darkness half of the exhibit.
So it did not have to be representative of the eclipse necessarily, but more or less how the artist themselves interprets darkness or light in their own work.
She says that led to all kinds of submissions: paintings, drawings, sculptures, glasswork, and photos. Here at the Strand's gallery, Katie Murray of Dear Simon Photography says she thinks a lot about shadow in her pictures.
Even when I first started picking up a camera, you know, I was really looking for how can I use darkness in this instead of light.
For Murray, the darkness comes through in her work as she plays with themes of femininity, nature, and mental health. One of her photos, titled Soul, features a nude woman who's curled up in a ball with a scarf covering her head. Murray says she doesn't go into a shoot with a particular idea in mind. She says she brings in a model and they discover the art together.
So I don't really walk into it saying, like, oh, I'm feeling you know, stressed, like I'm going to make art that shows my stress. You know, it's just what I find to be beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. at the time.
In another photo, the model wears a dark cloak in the middle of the woods, like an earthy witch or evil spirit, Murray says. The third shows another woman, again in the nude, suffering as she lies in a bathtub. Murray says she hopes the eclipse brings people to the area to appreciate the art Plattsburgh has to offer, and that visitors see her work the way she does.
I really hope that they just find it really beautiful, you know, and really inspiring. And I hope that they learn how to observe art in a new and interesting way.
Up the road, SUNY Plattsburgh's Feinberg Library will showcase the light portion of the exhibition. John Cherimella positions three lighting fixtures on a white tablecloth in the deep, quiet room.
So these are what I call luminaries, or lit sculptures.
They're all made of driftwood and other materials he's found while sailing around Lake Champlain.
What I want to express is the fact, for me, trees are really special and unique mm-hmm. beings. And I want to try to bring them, these dead trees, back to life mm-hmm. through creating art out of them.
Cherimella says one of the trees he's brought back to life is a kind of sculpture. He's flipped the base of a cedar tree upside down, so the roots stretch up and out like arms, casting their shape on the wall when the piece is lit up. To make his luminaries, he first has to find the driftwood. Then he pressure washes it, carves out any dead wood, sands it down. He finds bases to attach to it and does the wiring so it has different light settings. Cherimella draws parallels between the process of creating these pieces and the path of a solar eclipse.
It's a little bit of the transition from the darkness of a dead, burnt tree to what it has become to create light mm-hmm. or luminescence.
Across the room, fellow artist Mac McDevitt unpacks the pieces of his sculptures. Like Cherimella, he's giving the components a second life.
When I heard about this exhibit, I thought, wow, I wonder if I could use up those... I wonder if I could use up those hubs that I made.
Those hubs are plywood hubs. They're round with fittings to accept rods. McDevitt says he made them for what he describes as a, quote, failed major art project about a decade ago. His bigger piece, titled Under Assault, features about 20 of those hubs, painted white and black. They're stacked up PVC pipe and copper tubing to create a lighthouse that looks like it's falling over. Black waves crash toward the base as a camping lantern shines at the top. McDevitt says the idea is that the lighthouse is in peril, and its light could represent a lot of different things depending on your viewpoint. The environment, democracy, school systems.
This idea is to kind of keep the faith, you know, like keep the light. The hope is the light. You know, there are people, things that will guide us, and that people won't give up, but that we're in trouble.
McDevitt says he's never had any formal training as an artist. He says he's dyslexic, and that means the best way for him to make art is to start building something, take it apart, and try again until he finds what works. McDevitt says he hopes one of the takeaways people get from his work in the Community Eclipse exhibition is that anyone can make art.
Why not do things that are creative and just get an idea and build it and make it and see what happens?
The opening reception for the darkness portion of the Darkness and Light exhibition will take place tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Strand. The light theme's opening reception is slated for tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. at SUNY Plattsburgh's Feinberg Library. The exhibition is open through Saturday, April 27th. Kara Chapman, North Country Public Radio, Plattsburgh.
You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a minute, we've got music from Peggy Lynn and Dan Duggan. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note, coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Weather Service says there's still some light to moderate snow in the region and a winter weather advisory for parts of the North Country, Franklin, Clinton, Essex counties through early tomorrow morning. The snow should just taper to flurries by tomorrow morning. Maybe some rain showers, slight chance of some rain showers on Saturday with highs low 40s tomorrow. Highs today, upper 30s into the low 40s, mid 40s in places like Glens Falls and Lake George this afternoon. Then partial clearing by Sunday. The Weather Service says partly sunny, highs near 50 on Sunday, and on Monday, eclipse day. The Weather Service, not me, is predicting highs in the 50s with mostly sunny skies and light winds. Here with a look at weekend outdoor conditions is John Warren.
On Saturday, sunrise in the high peaks will be at about 6:30 and sunset at about 7:27. Much of the Adirondack Park picked up at least 2 to 4 inches of snow from the storm, which is currently coming to an end. Areas with the most accumulation were those in the central and southern Adirondacks, especially to the south, but also above about 2,000 feet. Albany Airport got about 3 feet of snow. There was about 8 to 10 inches in Warrensburg, about 8 inches in Indian Lake and Minerva, and Saranac Lake has about 6 to 8 inches outside the city. Tupper Lake got very little. There is still deep snow in the mountains at higher elevations. Above about 2,000 feet got a fresh dump of 1 to 2 feet. There is 2 to 3 feet at Lake Colton and more at the highest elevations. High peak summits are expected to remain mostly in the lower 20s through the weekend, with wind chills around zero. Skis and snowshoes are needed, and carry traction devices. Whiteface and Gore remain open for downhill. Mount Van Hovenberg will have some skiing, and Lapwood Lake near Northville will be open this weekend. Both Gore and Lapwood Lake received a considerable dump of snow during this storm. As temperatures warm at lower elevations, the levels of rivers and streams will be rising, and some may be impassable in the central Adirondacks and high peaks. The Hudson River will be at about 4.5 feet through the weekend in North Creek, 6.5 feet at the Racket River in Piercefield. Waters are still very cold. All people in boats less than 21 feet are required by law to wear a life preserver. And finally, Monday's total solar eclipse will bring plenty of visitors to the Adirondacks, especially in the most popular areas. Expect traffic delays and for parking areas to fill early. Those are the outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the New York Almanac. Online at NewYorkAlmanac.com.
I'm running down the road, the sky is spitting snow. I'm freezing and I've still got 3 miles to go. Wind is cutting through me every time that it blows. My mind is saying faster, but my body says no. It says, isn't this supposed to be April? Isn't this supposed to be spring? I've got to feel some sun on my extremities before I do a disastrous thing. And I sang Christmas songs, but now it's so hard when everywhere else they're taking their shirts down off of the shelf. I say, isn't this supposed to be April? Isn't this supposed to be spring? I've got to feel some sun on my extremities before I do a disastrous thing. The way that I do, you probably eat it to cheer you up too. But I'm feeling sick and I think I will die. Someday this week I don't see some blue sky. Say, isn't this supposed to be April? Isn't this supposed to be spring? I've got to feel some tropical breezes before I do a disastrous thing. Gonna go. I think I still got half a little wrapped up Snickers bar home in my desk drawer. Better be there when I get home. There's robins hopping around bloomed in my yard. Crocuses pushed through the ground, they're still hard with. I'll hand it to them, they've really got heart. But in an inch of new snow, I don't think they're so smart to see. Isn't this supposed to be April? Isn't this supposed to be spring? I gotta feel some sun on my extremities before I do a disastrous thing. Isn't this supposed to be April? Isn't this supposed to be spring? I'll be headed for the equator if I can figure out how to sprout wings, sprout wings. If I can figure out
now that's Peggy Lynn and Dan Duggan. April, name of that song. And they are part of Jam Crackers. Dan Duggan, Peggy Lynn, Dan Berggren, the Jam Crackers. They have a concert coming up at Tawny Traditional Arts in upstate New York, Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. That's 1 week from tonight. Jam Crackers at Tawny, part of the Cabin Fever series. They're calling it the post-eclipse concert. Admission by donation. Join the Jam Crackers, Peggy Lynn, Dan Duggan, Dan Berggren at Tawny in Canton next Friday night, April 12th, 7 p.m.
You are listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It's about 8:25. I'm Monica Sandreski here with Todd Moe. I want to let you know about a couple of the eclipse events on Monday. If you're still looking for a place to view, we have some in mind. The Adirondack Lake Center for the Arts is going to be open from 10:30 to 5 on Monday with food and music from Yod Cruzy and the Yod Squad. If you're in St. Lawrence County, you can head to SUNY Potsdam. They're hosting a whole celestial celebration at the Marshall Park Bandshell and on the Quad. They'll have eclipse-themed food. The planetarium's going to be open. Lots of talks and interactive demonstrations. You can find out more from potsdam.edu. Or if you're near Malone, astronomy and literature combined, the Almanzo Wilder House is opening. You know that name because Almanzo married Laura Ingalls, who wrote the Little House on the Prairie books. So you can check out the museum and enjoy the eclipse from the grounds. They'll have eclipse glasses available too. That's the Almanzo Wilder House in Malone. And in Blue Mountain Lake, the Adirondack Experience will be open. They're hosting a watch party with food trucks, live music, a campfire with s'mores, art activities, a NASA live stream, and more. Tickets are required there, and parking is included with the cost of admission. You can find out more at AdirondackExperience.com. And to find an eclipse event near you, you can head to our website, ncpr.org/eclipse. Also, you can head down to Syracuse to the Milton Rubenstein Museum of Science and Technology. We'll be hosting a total solar eclipse festival too on Monday. Again, find out more at ncpr.org/eclipse.
SUNY Plattsburgh's Torrett Window Theater presents This Is How We Walk on the Moon at the Black Box Studio Theater in the John Myers Building. That continues tonight, 7 o'clock, and tomorrow night, and a special 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow afternoon. We did a conversation with the director and some of the crew. You can listen back, and you'll find a link with more information at ncpr.org. Also, Monday night, the Saranac Lake Hootenanny, Monday night at the Garagerie post-eclipse party. Free live music, 6:30 to 10, with some great local musicians. An open mic sign-up runs from 6:30 to 7:30 during the featured artists session. Enjoy the eclipse in the Adirondacks, and then join the folks at the Saranac Lake Hootenanny at the Garagerie for a party starting at 6:30 Monday night. Post-eclipse music live in Saranac Lake. That'll do it for this edition of Northern Light on this Friday, April 5th.
Morning Edition continues in just a minute. Then join us later this morning for 1A for the domestic news roundup during the first hour and the international news roundup of the week during the second hour. That's from 10 to noon right here on NCPR. And tomorrow we do have special eclipse programming from WHYY's The Pulse, a total solar eclipse in some places, the first in more than a century and the last at least for another 20 years. They'll be talking about that narrow ribbon going through Mexico and Texas all the way up to Maine on The Pulse and what scientists' perspective are on it. It's 8:30.